Season 1, Episode 9. On today's episode, we are going to talk about another aspect of identity that all young people need to develop, self-worth. Have you ever felt that we are losing young people to the world around them and that they have already chosen to walk away from Jesus without even knowing him? And did you know that all young people are at risk for something? That's why I want to welcome you to the Jesus is My Hashtag podcast, where positive youth development and youth ministry intersect. I'm your host, Deb Schroeder. Join me weekly for encouragement, resources, and strategies to assist you in helping young people make Jesus their hashtag. On the last episode, we took a field trip to a youth development construction site, and we are back there again today. Remember, at this construction site, we are helping to build up a young person to be successful, happy, confident, and to become exactly whom God intends them to be. We want this young person to develop the knowledge, skills, abilities, and attributes needed for success. And without a doubt, we want young people to know who Jesus is, that they are loved by him, and we want to teach them how to build a relationship with Jesus. In episode 8, I talked about the 6 aspects of identity being the nuts, bolts, nails, all the things that hold together what you are building. And we started with safety and structure. I shared that young people need to feel safe in the world and have a sense that daily events are somewhat predictable. When young people experience this, it opens up their world and our ability to connect with them and to help them grow. Today, we are digging back into that toolbox and we are pulling out self-worth. If I asked you to define self-worth, you might tell me that it means feeling good about yourself or being self-confident. The Advancing Youth Development Curriculum defines self-worth as a perception that one is a good person who contributes to self and others. Before we go into more detail about self-worth, I want to pause and I want to acknowledge that oftentimes self-worth and self-esteem, those terms are used interchangeably. But I do see a subtle difference, and that's what I want to break down here. Self-esteem is actually what we believe about ourselves. It's more of a self-evaluation. What qualities, characteristics, attributes, both physical and non-physical, what do we see in ourselves? For example, a young person might believe that they're pretty, that they're smart or popular. In terms of self-esteem, this young person would probably be walking around with more pride and just a higher confidence. Or if a young person believes that they're ugly, that they're not smart, and no one is ever going to like them, that young person would have less confidence. They might have anxiety. They may not make eye contact with you. And whatever message a young person is telling themselves or however they evaluate themselves or allow others to, that ties into their self-esteem. Self-worth is more than an evaluation of who we are. It is actually a belief that we are more than these things and that we have value regardless of how we or how others evaluate and see us. In other words, our identity is going to encompass more than what you see on the outside and more than the things that we do. Let's look at self-worth a little more and revisit that definition I shared. Self-worth is a perception that one is a good person who contributes to self and others. While we may have specific expectations or ideas about what a good person is, I do believe it is fair to say that most of us would agree that a good person is kind, cares for others, doesn't hurt other people on purpose, and is generally liked by those around them because how that person makes others feel. And if that is the definition of being a good person, who wouldn't want to be considered a good person? It's a sign of acceptance and that others see something of value in you. From a youth perspective, all young people want to be accepted and want to believe that there is something good about themselves. And let's be honest, as an adult, we want to have that acceptance and we want to believe that there's something good about our own selves. This is true. Even if young people tell you they want this or tell you they don't or they act otherwise, it all ties into their development of self-worth. And that is connected to another developmental outcome, belonging and membership. But we're going to get to that in a couple weeks. For now, let's just go ahead and look at how developing self-worth can positively impact our young people. When young people develop self-worth, it encourages them to try new things, take healthy risks, and even solve problems. And as they do those things, their confidence and their ability and their belief in who they are, it grows. This makes me think of a young middle school girl who I've been working with as she volunteers in our children's ministry program. At the beginning of my interacting with her, she was uncertain of her value. She was timid. She looked lost when I would ask her to do something. But over time, as myself and other adults have poured into her and given her opportunities to build skills, her self-worth has grown. You can see it in her smile, how she walks a little taller, how she eagerly greets the adults, and she seeks additional responsibility. And she even dresses a little nicer when she volunteers now than she did at the beginning. Why do you think this is? Because she feels good about herself. She has been told that she is doing a good job, and she has internalized that to mean that she is valued by others and that she is a good person. This young girl still has a lot of knowledge, skills, and abilities that she needs to develop throughout her teen years. But I have seen growth, and the more her self-worth develops in positive ways, it has a ripple or a domino effect in that she is ready and open for more learning and more engagement. And the investment offered to her has been opportunities and words of encouragement. It didn't cost anything, but maybe a little time. And that investment is worth it, and it shows. Do you have a young person, or maybe more than one, that comes to your mind as I talk about self-worth? Have you seen a young person grow and step a little more fully into believing that God designed them with a purpose? Or maybe someone who hasn't developed a strong sense of self-worth is coming to your mind. That person might be withdrawn, have anxiety or depression, might carry shame, or doesn't even try because they've given up, or because they believe that they have nothing to offer someone else. That young person doesn't see their own value, their own worth. Sadly, when I think of this, I also have young people that come to mind. I want to offer you encouragement. Development can be a slow process, and it's actually on a young person's timetable, not ours. How you are pouring into young people is important, even if you don't see the growth that you want, or if you see a bit of a backslide. Remember that the environment and relationships in their life, besides you, those things are having and those people are having an impact on their ability to develop self-worth. This is why we need to be intentional. In the limited amount of time we have with young people in our lives, we need to be pouring into them and intentionally building up their self-worth. Have you ever noticed that young people often seek validation from peers as well as adults to build up their own self-worth? This is because they are unsure of what to believe. They receive mixed messages about who they are. Social media, peers, parents, coaches, teachers, and so much more has an impact on the messages that they hear about themselves and about their value. When they are confused or lack this perception that they are a good person, they may act out, make poor friendships, they may experiment with drugs or alcohol, they may experiment with sex as a way to cover any hurt or to find acceptance. And the truth, many of our young people are so busy believing the narrative of what others think about them or what society says they should look like, how they should feel, that these young people don't hear how much Jesus truly loves them. That message, if it is even shared with them, is often drowned out by all the other things coming at them. And when the message is shared, young people may not always understand it. I remember a young person was questioning what I meant when I said they were made in God's image. They had heard me say Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And while this Bible verse is true, and there is nothing wrong with sharing this Bible verse, the reality for that young person, and for many of our young people, is that they don't know what it means or it looks like. Why is this? Because they don't know who Jesus is, and they are still developmentally growing the capacity and the ability to understand that spiritual truth. That night, I was hit with such a solid reminder that yes, I need to share the gospel, the word of God, but I also need to be very concrete in pointing out what good things, Christ-like things, characteristics of God that I see in them. That night broadened my perspective of how I talk about God's word with young people. I know that I'm overviewing these developmental outcomes, but I want to stop and I want to get practical here, especially as we talk about helping young people develop self-worth. I want to share 5 strategies that we can use to be intentional about growing self-worth in our young people. Strategy number 1, build up self-worth with words that encourage. We give specific examples of what we see young people do well. The more specific we can be, the more concrete we can be in those examples, it helps us to connect it to ways in which Jesus lived out love on this earth. We don't lie and we don't make up things. We seek to find the good in the young people, and we train our minds to be looking for those good things. And then we make sure we stop and tell young people something we saw and something we valued and appreciated about them. This intentional approach, giving these specific examples, it counters any negative self-talk that they have going on. A couple years ago, when I was subbing in a freshman English class, one of my roles was to also cover an intensive study hall. An intensive study hall simply meant that the kids assigned there were failing at least one class. One day, there was this one young man in the room that didn't want to work. Now, maybe most of the students in that room didn't want to work, but they had all had me as a sub besides this young man, and so they knew in the end they were going to have to work, so they just started. But this young man, he had other plans. Well, God's gift of compassion overtook me and joined forces with my incredibly stubborn streak. I was going to connect with this young man, and I was going to get him to work. He didn't know that that was what was rising up in me, but I did. And more importantly, God did as well. I finally made a bold move, grabbed a chair, and just squeezed it right in there and sat right next to him. After I did that, he finally got out a worksheet to do. He was still hesitating to completely get engaged, but I persisted. I told him that I knew he could do the worksheet. I said I knew that he was smarter than he wanted to let on, and I told him I was going to help him because I wanted him to find one positive thing that day and to focus on that. He would slowly do a problem or two on the worksheet while asking questions about myself. I would answer those questions, all the while encouraging him and telling him that he was doing a good job. Then he said, "You're a Christian." And the door opened and his demeanor changed. He quickly completed that worksheet and sat a little taller and was smiling by the time he left for lunch. Yes, my stubbornness pushed us to that point. But what I was saying to him was true. He was smart. He could do it. He was doing a good job. The more I encouraged and engaged with him, the more value he saw in himself. It wasn't just the verbal encouragement. It was my physically sitting there right next to him, being there and not giving up that told him I saw value in him. Strategy number 2, encourage physical activity. Never before have we as a society been so sedentary. Cell phones, gaming systems, TVs, internet, all of it contributes to this shift. Young people lose hours a day connected to their devices. But hey, so do we as adults. This is why when you have an opportunity to encourage a young person to get outside, to look up, to be physically active, it's important. I'm not talking about a regimented exercise routine, but moving one's body helps us to get blood flowing. It ignites endorphins in us that can boost our mood and encourage us to keep moving. This impacts self-worth because it is one way we can combat depression and anxiety that seek to attack self-worth. And if you're struggling with a young person, take a walk with them. Get outside. Just have them go take in 5 deep breaths of fresh air. These things can get them to shift their perspective, can get them to refocus, and it can even get them to start talking. Strategy number 3, create opportunities for youth to serve and help others. This specifically builds their belief that they can make a difference for someone else. No matter their age, their life circumstances, they are a good person and they can do good things. I can't wait to share about service learning with you all on this podcast. It's another one of those things I get really excited about. It's an intentional approach to engaging young people in serving others that seeks to build skills and knowledge. Now, so often communities and agencies limit how young people can serve, but when we can engage them in this way, it builds their self-worth. Strategy number 4, encourage youth to use their voice. Why is this important? When we ask young people to share ideas or to speak up, we are acknowledging that they have value. Now, getting a young person to speak up can be challenging if that young person isn't confident or doesn't see good in themselves. They often don't know how to speak up or they're too scared. So, as a youth worker, we need to think about creating small ways that they can use their voice that is safe, that they can practice and grow this skill. But we're going to talk about that again in another podcast. Strategy number 5, teach young people to pray or model what prayer looks like. When we pray for others and thank God for what He has given us, it can also impact our self-worth. Teaching young people what that looks like means starting with small, short prayers that they can repeat, or you can even text them a 3-sentence prayer that they can use on their own. The bottom line, when young people are able to count their blessings or identify one thing good happening in their life, it bolsters their attitude and their confidence. And when we pray for others, it is one simple, easy thing that we can do to contribute to someone else's life. In the end, self-worth is something our young people are going to carry with them throughout their life. Now, as an adult, you know that there's going to be different seasons in our life where our self-worth might be higher than other times or where we feel that we don't measure up. And that is what young people experience throughout adolescence, day to day. But a basic belief and perception that they matter, that they are good, and that they can make a difference in our world and in other people's lives is key to them being successful in these teenage years, and it prepares them for the future. And it will also tie into their faith journey because self-worth connects to our values and our beliefs. It ties to our heart, our compassion for others, and who we are on the inside. My challenge for you this week is to think about one young person you can intentionally speak love, truth, and encouragement into, with the goal being to help them see how much value they really do have. Remember, be as specific as you can. Give concrete examples of things that you have seen them do and heard them say, and how those things positively impact others. And be prepared to return to our construction site again in the next episode. We will dig back into our youth development toolbox to focus on mastery and future. Hey there, fellow youth workers. Thanks for tuning in today. Remember what Matthew 9:37 tells us. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. In other words, keep showing up and keep caring.